portion of your talk show brought to you by Lucy's Loon Lake Coffee and Deli. Start your day the Loon Lake way.
It's always talk show time online. Podcasts of your talk show are available following the show for you to share with friends or catch the segments you miss. Just go to WCLO.com to find the most current show archives from WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
And welcome back, everybody. Joining us now, I've mentioned this name around the hallways here, and everybody goes, where do I know that name from? And this next gentleman, I think his name is kind of a household name, but people might have trouble putting their finger on where they know Wink Martindale from, because Wink Martindale's past has a whole lot in it other than what I have come to know is one of the big things, and that's the host of Tic-Tac-Doe, the game show in the 70s and 80s. Good morning, Wink Martindale.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you here. It's interesting how this came about, because we, for the last couple of years, over Christmas, have enjoyed having you hosting the top 100 Christmas hits of all time. And that came around. I said to tell people, we always plan for Christmas starting in June and July, and that's what happened. And I said, you know, I'm kind of a game show junkie to a degree, and it'd be really fun to talk to Mr. Martindale about all his experience with game shows and what he thinks of the game show biz today. And by goodness, after a few phone calls, here we are together on the air. So thanks for your time this morning.
I do want to
ask you about that. It seems to me that the game shows really enjoyed their glory days. In the days that were my youth, basically from the 1970s, mid-70s, maybe a little earlier than that, I guess. Kind of by the time you got to 1990, their popularity had waned, or at least, I guess, the makeup of what made a game show changed. And I don't know if it's more complex, but I call American Idol a game show, and America's Got Talent a game show, and even Shark Tank, to a degree, a game show. It's still people going up against something and hopefully winning something that they want, which was kind of the whole premise of all the classic game shows that we remember. But for a while, America was just enchanted with shows like Tic-Tac-Doe, was it not?
Yeah, we were the first show to combine with Joker's Wild in the late 1970s to take over the what's known as the prime time 7 to 8 hour in the evening, leading into network programming. Mm-hmm. And we were followed in that hour by Jeopardy and Wheel. And, of course, they're still going strong.
Yep.
But like you said, back in the 90s, in the early 90s, even soap operas as well as classic game shows were sort of on the wane. And I think that was the result of the popularity of so many talk shows. So many talk shows came on. It seemed like every time you turn on, at one time it was a game show on the air, and then in the 90s it seemed like every time you turned on TV there was a talk show, and that's still true today.
It is, now that you say that. Yet there are occasional hits that don't seem nearly as long-lived, and I'll go back, well, it's probably going back a decade or so now ago, I guess, already. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was one of the true. It was still a game show, and then we had One Versus 100, and we had some of those here in the new century, if you will. But they don't seem to have the longevity.
Well, you know what I think it is? You refer to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was a huge, huge hit, and then came Deal or No Deal.
Right.
And both of those shows became so successful and so popular overnight, Tim, that I think that the networks are prone to get a bit greedy. And so what they do is they overplay them. They put them on first two nights a week and then three nights a week. And there was a time when both of those shows were on almost five nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And people just grow tired of them, you know? The only show that I think is on the air, well, there are two shows that are still on the air that people never seem to grow tired of, Wheel and Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
But another one, a third one to add to that list, is the current version of Family Feud.
Yes.
There hasn't been a game show in years that has rivaled that show in the ratings. which is now on the air. In fact, it's now on in prime time on NBC.
Yeah, and I always wonder what the magic is. That's like the game show that won't go away. Because it always seems like, you know, since Richard Dawson starting it doing it way back in the 70s, you know, it would wane in its popularity and a network would pull it or move it. And all of a sudden, a new host, and boom, it would be back out there. And that show has had five or six hosts, I think, over time here. And still, when they put it out there in front of the American people, they kind of eat it up.
Yeah, and I think that's simply because it's a show that appeals to people to a large degree because of the real people on there, you know, the families. People can sit at home in front of their television show and watch Family Feud and picture their own family up there. Well, how would we do if we were up there? And once you get that in any game show, once you create that question, how would my family do? How would I do as a contestant? Then you're hooked. And that is one of the main reasons for success of any game show.
Does the size of the prize, in your opinion, Wink, have anything to do with the success of a game show? We talked about Millionaire and Deal or No Deal, which both had $1 million as the top prize, though very few people ever reached that level.
Only to a degree, Tim, does the top prize mean anything. I mean, you could give away $5 million as a top prize rather than $1 million. You know, very few, I don't know whether you pay close attention or not, but very few people ever reach the $1 million
right.
level. But no matter what you give away, nothing means anything if the game show itself is not a winning format. You can have a Bob Barker and an Alex Trebek, a Pat Sajak, a Wink, if you will, or whomever as the host on the show. But if the show is not there, no host in the world can save a bad game show format. And that includes the money given away.
Sure. Most of those game shows that I remember as successful, and if we talk about, you know, Wheel, we talk about Jeopardy, I guess to a degree we could talk about The Price is Right, are shows that the people can generally, as you say, either visualize themselves or really play. They don't have a vested interest in the prizes, obviously, but at home, I'm always trying to answer the Jeopardy questions as well as
sure.
I always fail as ring up as well, but I try. And Wheel, you're trying to work out the puzzle. And Price is Right, I think I know how much that stuff costs. That's a unique element to most of the surviving game shows that some didn't necessarily have. And I'm trying to think of some of the shows that were a little more gimmicky, and the only one that comes to mind is Press Your Luck, which had that gimmicky little cartoon character that...
The
Whammy, that's right. and that didn't seem to last real long because it must not have had those same amount of successful elements to it.
Well, I'll tell you, Tim, like I said, if it's not a good format, it won't last 5 minutes. I did one once for Chuck Barris, one of the first game shows I ever did. Not too proud of it, but at the time, the pay was right, and then, you know, the check cleared the bank. and I did it. It was a show called How's Your Mother-in-Law? And I've had people ask me, what was the format? What was the premise of the show? And I said, well, that was the problem. It didn't have much of a premise, and it lasted about 13 minutes on ABC. But it was during that period of time in the late 60s when it seemed that Chuck Barris, everything he developed, got on ABC because, well, he was married to a lady whose dad was one of the honchos at ABC in New York. That didn't hurt, but that was one of those gimmicky shows that never did do well.
Never took off quite as well as a lot of the ones that we remember.
No, I've been there. I've been there a few times. I've enjoyed the pleasure of hosting about 21 different shows, and I can say that maybe 10 of them were viable formats, but there are some very forgettable shows that I've hosted.
Well, of the memorable ones, we're probably talking to an audience here, maybe three-quarters of which will remember some of those shows, and the other 25% may not. Tic-Tac-Doe and Gambit were, I think, two of the longest-running and biggest successes as far as game shows that you hosted.
I did Gambit for 5 years on CBS, and that was in the early 1970s, from about 70 through 75, 76. In fact, the show that came on the air on NBC opposite Gambit is the reason we went off the air with that show. It was a show called Wheel of Fortune. I'll never forget, my producer came to me one day and said, have you seen the new show that's opposite us here on CBS? I said, yeah, I've watched it, and I don't think it has a Chinaman chance. It doesn't have any chance at all to be successful. And he said, uh-oh, don't ever say that, because if you say that, sooner or later, that's going to bite you where it hurts. And sure enough, in a couple of rating periods, Wheel of Fortune was beating us on CBS. But there was a time when Gambit on CBS had a tremendous rating, and I remember when Tic-Tac-Doe went on CBS as a daytime show. Mm-hmm. It didn't last 13 weeks, and a lot of stations around the country had bought both carried both the CBS show and the new show in syndication, which was due to hit the air in September of that year. And a lot of station managers and program directors were scared to death because they thought, wow, this show has already been canceled off CBS after less than 13 weeks, and we've got to carry it this fall because we already have contracts signed. But wouldn't you know that for whatever reason, even though it didn't make it on CBS in the daytime, when the first rating book came out in the fall, I believe it was 1976 or 77, the ratings were through the roof. I've never been able to understand why it didn't make it in the daytime, and yet it was such a hit from the get-go in syndication.
Well, it is interesting how, and a lot of TV shows outside of game shows have probably experienced that same conundrum, but I always thought that was kind of a time wink, and I don't know if you would concur with that. People are getting home from work. They're having the family was at that point anyway in our society kind of more gathered together in the house at that they kind of all could participate in these shows at that time window that they were on.
Yeah, and that's true, Tim. Very true. Very, very, very true. And also, you got to remember that during the end of the 70s, from the 1960s, even into the 80s, we didn't have all the television channels that we have now, over almost 200 channels. Now you have a niche channel for almost anything you want to watch. But in the 70s, you had your channel 2 and 4 and 5 and 7 and 11. And, you know, that was about it. Yeah. So you had more of a good shot at the audience. And like you say, people would come home in the evening. I know during Tic-Tac-Doe's halcyon days, people would watch us on a regular basis every night. There was a period when we had a contestant on, you may remember as a viewer of Tic-Tac-Doe, a guy named Tom McKee was on 47 consecutive days.
I remember his name, but I do remember that one guy that was there.
Record
he was like there until, as long as you were, almost.
Yeah, that's right. he sort of became the co-host. And 47 straight days, he won 8 cars. He gave one to his missionary brother in Africa. He took the other 7, sold them, and bought himself a Mercedes. And he got the license plate called Tic Tac. and he still has it to this day.
Really?
I still am in touch with Tom McKee. He's now in successful real estate back in Connecticut. And my wife, Sandy, and I still see him from time to time when he comes out here to play a celebrity golf tournament.
Well, I will tell you that it has always been my dream, for whatever reason, to be the game show host. And I am afforded the luxury around here in the radio station of going on a lot of promotions, and we've built a lot of similar. You know, we have a wheel that you could say, well, that's sort of like Wheel of. In fact, we used to. Chet doesn't know this, but we used to tip it on its back and actually play it like Wheel of Fortune's wheel. And we have a Plinko board that's kind of modeled after the old Plinko thing of The Price is Right. It has to be great fun to be the guy up there with all these contestants, and they all want to win the game, and you ultimately get to award them the prize.
Well, it's fun, Tim, because I've always looked upon myself in doing a game show as host as being the second coming of Santa Claus. I mean,
exactly.
You get to give away prizes and other people's money without it costing you anything. And it's always fun. You know, people people ask me, you know, what are the reasons for success of game shows? And in addition to the one I mentioned earlier, people at home getting involved and actually feeling that they could do better than the contestants up there on stage, game shows are people shows, you know, and people love to win, and they like to watch other people win.
Mm-hmm. It's very true, and that's certainly the case of the more current, call them reality, call them game shows, whatever, but the talent-based competitions and those kinds of things, it's still the idea of watching the winners. That has not changed, I guess, as much as a lot of the other formatics of a game show have.
And I think in the future, I don't think this is a business of fast followers. You know, what goes around comes around. And I think that as I see it, I believe that you'll see more classic game shows come back on the air, even in daytime hours, in addition to the ones that are already successful, in the coming year or two. I just feel like people have always loved game shows ever since the great days of early radio and into television. Some of the most successful shows ever were game shows. People love to play games and watch people win. So I think that in the future, it won't be too long, too far down the road, you'll see some new shows come back on the air, as well as perhaps some of the old shows. I know that I just acquired the rights to a show called Treasure Hunt, which was on NBC.
We were just talking about that show yesterday, in fact, and I, for the life of me, could not remember the original host's name, but I loved that show, Wink.
Well, the show was created and hosted originally by the late Jan Murray.
Okay.
And there is also a pilot that's just been completed and may get on the air either in daytime or primetime, perhaps, or in syndication. If you remember the show called To Tell the Truth?
Absolutely.
Where you tried to find out which of the three people were telling the truth?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be back on the air, I think, in the next year. So my bottom line is I think we're going to have some game shows back on the air sooner rather than later.
Well, that'll be fun. I guess it's not terribly surprising if I look at Hollywood's trend of redoing everything that they've already done once. And now you look at the sort of the test case here of bringing Family Feud back into primetime, and it's having a good run right now. The networks pay attention to that stuff, and it'd be fun
What's
to see some
saying,
of that.
Everything old is new again?
A lot of times. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but you, before we got to know you as a television game show host, actually started out in this same business that I'm in radio.
Oh, absolutely. I was 17 years old when I started in radio right out of high school. From the time I was old enough to know what a microphone was, I always wanted to be, quote-unquote, on the radio. And my Sunday school teacher gave me my first job in Jackson, Tennessee, which was my hometown. And then I went from there after a couple of years to Memphis, and RKO's WHBQ was there for 7 or 8 years and got into television there, and then came to Los Angeles in 1959, been here ever since, transferred by RKO. And then it was here that I got into the game show world around 1965. I was morning man as a DJ on number one rated KFWB. And I got to the point where I wanted to do something else, try my hand at something else, and I loved game shows. I became addicted to a show called Password with Alan Ludden. Mm-hmm. I'd rush home every day to watch Password. Such a simple format, and yet so involving on the part of the viewer. And I did some research on Password, and I discovered that Alan Ludden, the host, would go in 2 days a week, knock out 10 shows in 2 days, and the rest of the week, the other 5 days, he'd go out and play golf. And I went to my agent, and I said, you know, that's not a bad way to make a buck. I said, I'd love to have you send me on an interview for a game show. And sure enough, he did. And the first or second interview I went on, I got the show. It was at NBC, and it was a musical show, kind of like Name That Tune, called What's This Song? And I did that for a year. They thought Wink was too juvenile sounding, so one of the big honchos in New York who gets paid the big bucks for making the big decisions decided they would knock the K off, and I was Wynn Martindale for a year on What's This Song. And then about a year later, after I got started in the world of game shows, it didn't matter anymore, so I was Wink. But, yeah, I've always enjoyed radio. I did Music of Your Life on radio for 12 years, And last year I did about a dozen specials for satellite radio, XM Sirius Satellite. I have interviews with some of the greatest stars ever that I did when I interviews that I did with people when I worked for Gene Autry at KMPC. And I knocked out a series of one-hour specials for XM Sirius Satellite and their Seriously Sinatra channel.
Ah.
So, long answer to your question, but I love radio. Radio's in my blood, and I've often said that aside from the bucks, you always make a little more in television as a rule. But if I had to choose between the two, I think it would be radio, because I still love radio.
Well, and as is obvious by your participation, I don't know if that's your whole creation, the 100 Christmas Hits special, or if that's a collaboration. But it's been fun to hear you back on the air here with that the last couple of years, and again this coming Christmas.
Yeah, well, the 100 Greatest Christmas Hits of All Time is a collaboration with a friend of mine, Gary Thoreau, and he did the history of rock and roll. Wrote that whole thing. He has great, great talent for this, and so we do it as a team, and really enjoy it. I think this will be our fourth year, and some of the all-time greatest hits of Christmas, and it's turned out to be a most interesting task to do this every year, and we appreciate the fact that all of you at WCLO have been carrying the show, I guess, since we started.
Mm-hmm. We have. Of course, I'm in addition to being a game show junkie, I'm a Christmas junkie, so it lines up perfectly. Wink, it's been a pleasure visiting with you today. Thanks so much for taking the time to share some of your memories and some of your thoughts on game shows with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
All right. Take care of yourself. Wink Martindale, wrapping things up on the Fun for All Friday edition of your talk show. Remember, the beef cookout. Tonight, Rock County Fairgrounds, 5 to 8 p.m., and you'll want to get out there and get yourself a steak or two. Don't forget about the Home Garden Tour, Saturday, 9 to 3, put on by Rotary Botanical Gardens. You can get tickets at K&W Greenery or the Gardens. And again, watch out for those Harley guys. They're all around with the big Hog Chapter rally in town, and they're going to be having some fun and, you know, watch out for a lot of extra motorcycles around and, share the road nicely, will you? Okay. That's fantastic. We are out of here for another week. We'll be back on Monday with Suzanne Summers, by the way. It's like Celebrity Week here on the show.
Lining them up.
Among other guests next week. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Blaine's Farm and Fleet hopes that you're ready for a thick and juicy ribeye steak tonight with the Rock County Beef Producers as they present their annual steak cookout at the Rock County Fairgrounds in Janesville. Everyone at Blaine's Farm and Fleet appreciates the hard work it takes to be a farmer, and tonight is a way for our community to say thank you. We encourage you to attend the steak cookout at the Rock County Fairgrounds. First ribeye served up at 5 this afternoon. The event runs till 8 o'clock tonight.
Showcasing incredible vocals, piano, drums, harmonica, and guitar, the Cashbox Kings. Head to the Harry Moore Pavilion at Riverside Park tonight to see and hear the Cashbox Kings for free. It's new school meets old school with a focus on post-war Chicago blues and Delta blues of the 20s and 30s. For more information, visit friendsofriverfront.com. The concert tonight is free and starts at 7, but get there early to stake out your place and patronize the food vendors. Music at Harry's Place, where the river and music meet.
Mount Olympus Water and Theme Park scores a 10 for family fun. And this week, you can score all that hair-blown back, cannonball-splashing, stomach-swallowing water park and coaster fun for just 10 bucks.
The whole park, all day, 10 bucks.
Unlimited go-karts, roller coasters, amusement rides, and the Dell's largest water park, 10 bucks all day. Get your tickets online now at MountOlympusPark.com. That's MTOlympusPark.com. Swoop on this offer before it's gone from Mount Olympus Water and Theme Parks in Wisconsin Dells.
Looking to make home improvements, take a vacation, or consolidate debt? Try a home equity loan from Parker Community Credit Union. Fixed rates starting at 3.99% APR, up to 100% loan to value. Or try out their home equity line of credit with rates starting at 2.99% APR. Looking to refinance or buy a new home? PCCU has new low down payment mortgages available. Membership requirements apply. Federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender. Center. Lexington Drive across from Woodman's in Janesville. Here for you, that's PCCU.
Sunshine in a cup. That's what you get when you blend together Culver's Slow Frozen Real Lemonade with your choice of fruit topping for a treat that is sweet perfection. It's Culver's Lemon Ice Cooler, and it's available at your local Rock County Culver's. So what will it be? Strawberry mango, blackberry, blueberry, red raspberry. So many choices, you may have to have one of each to find your favorite. Cool off with a lemon ice today at your community-minded local Rock County Culver's in Newville, Janesville, and Beloit.
Be sure to mark your calendar for Wednesday, July 15th. Rotary Botanical Gardens has a magical evening planned, and you're invited to Rhythm and Blooms. Enjoy the sweet sounds of classical music as performed by the Arbor Ensemble Orchestra, all while surrounded by the natural beauty of the sunken garden. Doors open at 5 p.m., music begins at 6. Admission is $10 per person and includes general admission to the gardens during the event. That's Rhythm and Blooms, Wednesday, July 15th at Rotary Botanical Gardens.
Southern Wisconsin's news leader, WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.